Lord, you are the living word. Lord Jesus, you became flesh. So Lord, we ask you to take the written word and make the living word a reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Spending some time today in a couple of my favorite psalms. One of them is started off in 91. 91 is a great. You usually read this a lot at house blessings about. But the cool thing about this, one thing I was just kind of caught up in, David's talking about. This is a Psalm of David where he, the person who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord, you're my refuge and my fortress, God who I trust. Goes on with these wonderful things about him delivering us from the snares, the, you know, pestilence, all those things come against us. It says, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your tent, and he will give his angels charge concerning you. So it's talking about, I was just thinking about a lot about, and have been lately, about God being our dwelling place, you know. David says in Psalm 27, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I have written down here that David wrote this when he was 60 years old, died at 70, right? He was like 60 years old when he wrote Psalm 27. He just made this a practice. He said, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, so that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me on the rock. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. And when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I'll seek. A really cool scripture about the one thing life here. David's heart and desire toward the end of his life, which I really like, he just wanted to spend all his days just hanging out with the Lord, right? Meditating. And it was there in that secret place that the Lord lifted his head above his enemies, right? Where he could kind of see what's going on. We talk about that a lot, living an above life, an elevated life. You know, we hear a lot of these terms around here, we have for years, about just kind of making that your life's one ambition, right? We see that Mary in Luke chapter 10, you know, Mary was seated at his feet. You know, Martha was distracted. And we'll talk about that another day. She gets kind of a bad rap sometimes, Martha, but there's a lot of cool stuff about her, right? But Mary was seated at Jesus' feet, and he says the one thing. You know, we used to go to one thing conference from IHOP. That would have that, International House of Prayer would have the one thing, because that's what they devoted their lives to. They have 24/7 prayer, have since, I think, 1999. They've been going on 24/7. And just a group of people who have devoted their lives to the best of their ability, living out of God's presence, right? We know that we have lives, jobs, things to do, right? So the Lord wouldn't tell us that if there wasn't something we could go after, right? And I know we can't just do that all day long, just sit there and not ever go anywhere and move. But I really think that we can live out of there. Brett's been reminded of something Bishop said about living behind the veil will affect the way you live when you're not behind the veil, when you're just kind of out in life, right? Behind the veil meaning, again, in God's presence. So I just want to go through some scripture, a few scripture real quick in the book of Luke, because you see Jesus in prayer in the book of Luke more than you do any other of the Gospels, okay? Knowing that, you know, and especially in the book of John, we see that Jesus did nothing unless it's something that he saw the Father doing. Lord, I only say what I hear him speak. I only do what I see him doing, right? Well, where did that come from? It didn't just, you know, probably at moments it happened, but I think mainly it came from assignments, what he was doing, you know, where to go, what to do in this situation. It happened behind the veil and in his time with the Lord, right? We'll just go through these kind of quick. There's a bunch of them. You can mark them if you want to. First one's in Luke 3, chapter 3, verse 21. And this is when he's being baptized. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized, and while he was praying, the heaven opened. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and the voice came out of heaven, "You're my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Okay, so we all know that story, Jesus being baptized, Holy Spirit coming, heaven's open, but this is the one that shows where he was actually in prayer when that happened, right? I think that's really cool, because he was actually praying, probably, "Holy Spirit, come, you know, come and fill me," like we should too, right? This is in, the next one's in chapter 5, verse 16. Right. And this is when he was getting real popular. News about him was spreading everywhere. People were coming to him with sicknesses and disease. And it says this about him: "But Jesus himself would often slip away in the wilderness to pray." This next one is in chapter 6, verse 12. And this is when he was going to choose the 12, right? The 12 guys. "But at this time, he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent all night in prayer to God," right? Before he selected the 12. So it's kind of easy to assume, and I believe we can assume with those, right? That with a lot of assurance, that the Lord showed him, the Father showed him who to pick in that all night of prayer. Right? I don't think he just spent all night in prayer, then went and thought, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo kind of thing. He knew who to do it because he had spent all night in prayer. And at his footstool time, behind the veil time, whatever you want to say, the Father spoke to him about what to do, who to pick. All right, this is in 9:18. This is right after the 5,000, the breaking of the feeding of the loaves, all these things, the fish. He was looking into heaven, and they ate and satisfied, and they picked up the baskets and everything. It says it happened that while he was praying alone, he slipped off by himself to be alone after this. If you hadn't figured it out yet, you will, especially if you're in ministry. That ministry can drain you, right? And in Jesus' humanity, right, I'm sure that happened to him a lot too. So after this amazing thing, which I would like to be, I hope we get to see a scene of that when we go to heaven, you know, probably will. Probably this place you go into and you can see like a movie, you know, probably with popcorn there and stuff. I know it'll be like the best popcorn and Coke that does not go flat. And we can just watch these miracles, because I'd like to see when he broke this bread and he fed 20,000 people, what it looked like, you know. It just, the bread just kept being there. I guess it did, or, you know. Anyway, wouldn't you? I just want to be able to see those. I think we will, right? Why not? And this is at the Transfiguration. This is also in chapter 9, verses 28 and 29 of Luke 9. Some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and James and John, and he went up on the mountain to pray. Took them up there with him because he was going to pray. The mountain he went up to a lot, Mount of Olives. While he was praying, the appearance of his face became different. His clothing became white in the whole Transfiguration thing, right? Right in the middle of praying, right? And this is in, the next one is in 11, chapter 11, verse 1. I thought I had it. Oh, I did have it. It happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John has taught his disciples to pray," right? So, and then he went on. This is the second time he was saying, "Lord, hallowed be your name." He was showing them how to pray. Not the same one as you see in the Sermon on the Mount. So he probably did that a lot with them. Hey, pray this. Say this when you pray. And so they were watching him and coming to him and said, "Lord, we want to teach us how to pray like you do," right? So evidently he just spent a lifetime on earth before the Father in prayer, okay? This is one more in a couple of more in here. If you just want to mark them, this is in Luke 22 when he's talking to Peter about he's fixing to be sifted like wheat, right? "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail." So Jesus knew it was going to happen, right? He had already heard about it. When Satan asked permission, he had to get permission to do it. And all in prayer, when God said, gave him permission to do that, then Jesus prayed for him. "Hey, I'm praying that his faith may not fail." Okay? Another just good example. Then in 23:34, is when Jesus was on the cross and he was praying, you know, Father, forgive them. And you see these guys in Acts just continuing on. Acts 1:14, they were gathered together. They were praying, right? Right before the Holy Spirit fell. Then they gathered again and they were praying. So, stuff you know already. Just as an encouragement to, that's where we learn to live an above life, right? Just by getting in His presence, learning to live there, right? It's where things for me come together. The Lord just speaks promises, you know, lifts my head above the enemies. I can see what's going on. And I don't know what happens, but it doesn't take me long being out from there to just kind of get foggy again. I don't know if that happens to you, right? Where I start believing lies and I'm just not, you know, what the Lord has spoken, promises. Then I find myself having to go right back there again, right, to hear it all again. And He loves to do that, but it's from there. Because my prayer has been lately, Lord, I want to learn even more in just prayer how to live an above life constantly. Right? Just pray at all times. Paul talks about, you know, this always in communication with God, which I think is just normal life, right? But it's also supposed to create a hunger in us, not a guilt. So if you're feeling guilty, flush it, right? Because it's not the Lord. I remember the Lord telling me one time, Craig, if you come to me out of guilt, let's just not do it, right? Let's do something else. Because I don't ever want you to be motivated by guilt to come be with me. Right? And I know He's always with us. And we're there. I talk about that a lot. We're seated in the heavenly places. But, you know, Colossians 1 talks about that, to set our affections, set our minds on things above and not on the things of the earth. Boy, as you know, there's that transition that happens there with Him. When the longer we're with Him, there's a more renewing of the mind and transition that we're actually transitioning from this to the next, right? Eternal life. So just to encourage you more, just let that be your one thing. And the older David got, the more that passion just burned in him. So I don't ever want to get burnt out. I did that in one time in my life. I got just burnt out on it because it was so rigid, and you know, it just wore me out doing that. Just trying to fill in. You know, we would. It was in this little group of this ministry I was in. They were, you know, great scripture people. I learned a lot of scripture, but they were like scripture Nazis. I mean, and we had four guys living together in this place and had all our names, you know, by this thing, and we would check it off each morning right after we had our prayer time, right? So if you didn't have your prayer time, it's right there for everybody to see, right? So most people would do it, you know. I remember a friend of mine just watching him over in a chair asleep, you know, because we had to get up so early so he could put his check on there so we wouldn't condemn him, which we would have, right? Terrible motivation. But the more time we spend there, like Mary, harder it is to tear yourself away, right? And the more you're going to lift, your head will be lifted above your enemies and see what's going on, right? So just another little thing about, just keep us hungry, Lord, and let that be our one thing. I don't want to, at the end of my life, when I go be with Him, think, oh, man, you know, I wish that would have been my one thing. I want to go ahead and do the one thing. That'll never be taken away from me or you, right? That's what Jesus promises. Amen.